Hey, good to see you. Welcome to the Sixers Talk Podcast. Glad you could join us. Danny Pommels here along with Noah Levick. Hey, a lot going on with this team. We will not delay because we have a special guest, as I mentioned earlier in the week. Kate Scott is joining us, and she has a lot to share, especially about her journey and a little bit about how this team has affected some of the choices she's made about coming to Philly and, you know, just how, you know, she's hit the ground running here with the organization. So let's dive right into the television play-by-play voice of the 76ers, the incomparable Kate Scott. Here she is.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to the floor here at the center. You know this guy, a la Abdel Nabi. Mark Zumoff looks different all of a sudden. Hi there, everyone. My name is Kate Scott, and I am so honored and just incredibly pleased to be sitting where Mark sat for 27 years and looking forward to having a whole lot of fun with this guy and hopefully all of you for a very long time. Allah.
Absolutely. We're so happy to have you. Allow me, on behalf of everyone at NBC Sports Philadelphia and Sixer fans worldwide, we know you've got big shoes to fill. We know you're going to be able to do it. We're so glad you're here. Welcome aboard.
Danny Green steps inside. Joel, that would have been something from way outside. Look out! Embiid with a little shimmy shake. What a first quarter for Joel.
Ladies and gentlemen, in all her splendor, it is Kate Scott finally joining the podcast. Kate, we're so glad you could be here with us.
Guys, it is great to be here. And sorry I was late. I actually did want to come and be a part of this, but you told me to rep a good t-shirt, so I hope this one works out.
We weren't going to tell anybody about UVLA, but look at you just owning up to it. We are so glad you're here. It's a pleasure listening to your voice on TV and covering so many games and spaces, and there's a million places we can start with this interview. But I thought it was really interesting and such a great omen that you are the exact same age that Mark Zumoff was when he took this job originally, and he was in it for 27 years. Yeah. So that had to be weird, you know, finding that out.
And I don't know if you all believe in, you know, symbols or signs or anything like that. Right. I mean, I'm a Berkeley girl, so I'm crazy like that. But yeah, when Zoo and I were sitting down having lunch a couple of weeks ago, and it was just kind of one of those random parts of a conversation, right? You're talking about something and you're really deep in it, and he just stops. And he goes, hey, how old are you? And I said, I'm 38. Why? And he goes, it's making sense. I was 38 when I started this job. You're supposed to be here right now, Kate. So that was wild. And then we also figured out, I actually figured this out before the audition and dropped it in just as I was leaving Philly to go back to the Bay Area. I said, all right, so last time y'all won a title and the last time the NBA finals were actually completed in May of a calendar year was back in May of 1983. And I said, same thing. I just said, I don't know if y'all are into signs or any of that stuff, but I was born in May 1983. So I don't know what that means, but I'm hoping it means something good.
Well, I can see, like you said, you pretending to be Allen Iverson in your driveway shooting hoops. Like, you know, it's just a lot of synergy going on. I'm feeling it. Noah's feeling it too. I can sense Noah's feeling it too.
Is this Noah feeling it? He's like, yep, yep. But I mean, that's what I'm hoping. I've been lucky enough to obviously work in a lot of different sports spaces before, and I'm not gonna, you know, put any, this has to happen, but I was lucky enough to cover a number of championship teams back in the Bay Area that hadn't won championships in a very long time. So I'm hoping that I can, whatever, you know, dust or sprinkle of something good I was able to grab there, I'm hoping that I can bring it here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so that meeting with Mark, we all saw the torch passing on social media. Can you just tell us a little more about what that day and experience was like?
I mean, he's the best, you guys know. And I've said it in some other interviews, but I legit said out loud, I remember I was actually on this computer and all of a sudden it started going viral, this letter that Mark Zumoff had written to Philadelphia. And I'm like, why is Zoo writing a letter? Oh my gosh, Zoo's retiring, what? Because we'd known each other for a couple of years. He reached out a few years back because, as you guys know, he also writes books and mentors and teaches. And he wanted to reach out to some women who were doing play-by-play. And that was the first time we spoke. And we've stayed in touch since. And he reached out before I called the Warriors game back in March. And I just thought, man, whoever tries to follow Zoo is a freaking idiot. And then my agents called a couple days later and said, hey, Kate, we think you should apply.
And here she is.
So I haven't made it yet, but I'm planning. You guys know that I'm with Stupid Shirts. So I'm just going to do an arrow up and I'm the idiot and just walk around with that. And I think people will understand. But now coming here and getting to meet him in person, I actually don't think I could be following a better person, because you all know he is so humble and so wonderful. And we approach this the same way. It's not about us. We are so grateful every day that we're getting to call a sport that we love in an amazing city with an amazing team. Obviously, Mark has the ties to Philly, but as I said, you know, I grew up idolizing Allen Iverson, and anytime I thought about the NBA, even though I was out in California, it was y'all, it was the Sixers, it was the Celtics, it was the Knicks, it was the Lakers, it was the Bulls, because I'm an 80s kid. But so to have this opportunity in Philly and to have the guy who held it down for 27 years say, I was 38, you're 38, like the synergy is coming together, you're supposed to be here. I can't say enough what that meant to me.
And just speaking of synergy and chemistry, you're now working with Ala. How seems like it's been a fun experience so far, but
oh my gosh.
Yeah, what's that?
He set the bar high, guys. I mean, I'm sure a few folks read the tweet the other day. First of all, you all know that he calls games and he just is such a joy. And I think I'm going to start calling him Big Fun this year, because I asked him, does he go by like AA? Does he have a nickname? No. And he said, but a long time ago, I love it when my iPad just thinks I'm talking to it. He said, there was a brief period where people started calling me Big Fun because I just love to have fun. And I said, Ala, we're going to have to bring that to the broadcast this year. But before the first broadcast, he calls me. He's like, hey, I'm stopping by my favorite hoagie shop. What's your favorite sandwich? And I said, well, I eat everything. So whatever your favorite sandwich is at that shop, I want to try it. Shows up, brings a thing of pasta salad for after the game, because he knows I'm just living out of a temporary hotel apartment right now. I'm not settled or anything. And then on Monday, before the second home preseason game, shows up with this incredible piece of art that he's with a Nicole. I'm with a Nicole. He was like, my Nicole had something to do with this, but I appreciate it. He was like, I thought it was a great idea. And it was just pictures of us from the first night. And he said, I imagine that Thursday was a blur and you don't remember any of it, but I want to make sure you remember it because it was a great start. I'm so excited to be working with you, partner. So anybody who appreciates how I've sounded so far through the first couple of games, that is all Ala and JR and Mike and everybody behind the scenes who's made me feel so comfortable. And anybody who hasn't liked it, that's on me. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, for those, we're going to try to pop up the tweet, because what Kate's alluding to is Ala had a framed, you know, collage of pictures of them from the opening day of calling her first game, first preseason game. It was really cute, sweetheart type of moment, well thought out.
And he was pissed at me for sending out the tweet, but I had to send it out because I don't think you guys know, because you're in this, right? But there's a lot of not great people who work in this industry. It's all about them, right? How high can they climb? And I just knew instantly that we were going to have a great connection. So I thought it was important. People, you all know how great he is on the air, but it was just important for me to shine a little light on how great he's been off the air too.
And I probably would be remiss if I didn't. You mentioned J.R. Aquila. Like, man, like, it, you know, it's weird meeting somebody like J.R. because you're like, man, this got to be like some other motivation for how nice he is and forthcoming and open. But that is just who he is. Just like a sweet tune is playing in his heart. So J.R. is a great guy. And I wanted to just give him a shout out. Sixers director for the broadcasts.
Yeah, so producer, actually. So
JR, producer, excuse me. Yeah.
Mike's the director, but the producer is the one who's always in our ear when we're on air. And you guys know, it makes such a difference how they're talking to you because we're trying to do so many things at once, right? First of all, watch and call a game. Listen to your partner so that you can be conversing with them. But then there's also spots you got to read. There's timeouts coming, how many fouls, personal and team. Like, there's so much going on during broadcast. And I know nobody in the audience cares, but simply having a producer who in your ear, as opposed to saying, Kate, we got to go to break. He's like, okay, so coming up after this, I mean, he's the person you want to read the phone book. And also, he's been so welcoming. I mean, I'm calling college football right now, too. I was in a hotel the first week I was here, and I had three big suitcases, and I was transitioning to the place I'm in now, a temporary apartment. And he calls and is like, hey, so what are you doing with your suitcases? And I said, I was going to try to store them at the hotel. No. I'm coming with my truck. He has a big truck. He's like, you're throwing them in the trunk. I'm taking them back to Jersey with me for the weekend. So I've just started calling him Dad. I'm like, thanks for taking care of me, Pop. So, and he has a daughter who just is in her second year at Temple. So I think he's kind of appreciating it too. But yeah, again, the team, I couldn't have asked to come into a better team so far.
Yeah, great guy. I'll follow up here because I know that, you know, you mentioned, you know, you call them college football games. You had the broadcast with Mike Golic. And, you know, I've heard you on a couple of calls and I got to find out. I know this is a hard question, but do you have more passion for one sport over the other? Or is there games you like to call, you know, more than others? I know it's a hard question to answer. Yeah. But you're so good with the football, so good with the basketball, the hockey, or what have you. Is there one that stands out above the others?
First of all, thank you so much for saying that. And that is a really hard thing to answer because the reason I love calling all of them is because they all test me in different ways because they are, you know, like football. I'm eight stories up, right? The guys all have helmets on. So I can't be like, oh, that guy has dreads. Oh, that guy, like you kind of just go off the numbers because they all look a lot alike from eight stories up. So there's different challenges to that. Okay, if I'm going to be honest, like basketball and soccer are my favorite to call. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I hope to call World Cups and lots of US Women's National Team soccer in the years to come. But I think that the continuity of it, that it's a continuous game, right? That's why I loved calling hockey, even though it was a brief spell of that, but I played soccer. That was my main travel sport growing up. And I loved basketball. I wasn't as good at it as I was at soccer, but I understood the intricacies of it. And I love the flow and the poetry of it. And that it is so fast paced also. You know, there's the stop and start in football and stop and start in some other sports. So, but really I think the energy and passion that I try to bring, it just comes from my love of sport in general. And like, I'm getting paid to call this football game. I'm getting paid.
Dream job. Yeah, absolutely.
To sit here tonight and call this Sixers game. And I love seeing people succeed, especially the people that are on my team, right? And that's now the Sixers. So I think that energy and joy you hear is just, how amazing is this that I'm getting to do this? Korkmaz, who knew he could do that? How awesome is this, right? We're getting a break from just life. As we get older, we all know life is hard for all of us for all different ways. So the fact that I'm calling sports and having fun, I think that's where the energy and joy comes from.
Yeah, with that multi-sport skill set, just makes me wonder, how do you study up on all the teams and all the players and the personalities? And I guess specifically for the Sixers, a team that's had a very eventful recent history, how did you go about that?
Yeah.
And the names, you got to get the names right as well. So I'm so, oh my gosh, so many names.
Yeah. So huge. Yes. And that is one of the reasons I'm still coming around to football. I have my football boards here for the weekend. They have so many guys on them. But I think it's just like studying for anything, right? Like I got to college and I didn't know how to study. I don't know how I got into college, but I did. And I don't remember, my parents hate it when I say this, but I don't remember a lot of what I learned to pass the test in college, but I learned how to study, right? The memorization tactics that worked for me. And I'm super old school, like flashcards. It's easier with basketball again, because there's much fewer people on a team. And the fact that I'm now getting to see one team over and over and over again, which is wonderful. So I already have the guys down again, because they don't have helmets on. I'm closer to the court, so I know who all the guys are. But now it's just about digging in. That's another one of my favorite parts, is learning their stories. And there's so much out there these days, right? That most of us know all the stories already, but I'm trying to dive as deep as I can into the interwebs, talking to the guys when I get a chance after practice. And I love talking to them, not about basketball, talking to them about the first time they picked up a basketball, what other sports they played, what kind of dogs they have, all those things that maybe we don't know as fans, to just get to know them a little bit better as human beings. There's a lot of film watching. We always hear, you know, players and coaches talk about it, right? Got to watch the film. But I do that back too. I watch our games back or watch other games. I'm actually going through a lot of games that they played last year to hear how Ala reacted to things, to hear how Zoo, you know, called certain things, because I want to keep some Zooisms around. So it's a whole lot of studying, and it changes each week, but flashcards, a lot of reading, a lot of film watching, kind of like the players do, I think, too.
I gotta tell you, Kate, you wear it so well. I'm curious though, because definitely a part of performing, a part of this business, is oftentimes you're your own worst critic. Oftentimes there's a bar you want to meet with everything that you do. And we fall short of that often and can't meet that. And definitely times that we meet it and we're proud of ourselves. But particularly with the Zoo situation, do you feel pressure stepping into those shoes to be a certain way, to try to perform at a certain level, to try to meet, you know, that bar?
Yeah. Well, Danny, I think you set it up perfectly, because I am my own most intense worst critic. I heard this a number of years ago. One of the athletic directors in the Pac-12 said, I am relentlessly self-critical. And that's how I continue to improve. So I feel pressure, but not because I'm following Zoo, just because he was such a wonderful broadcaster and approached this job with such care. As I said earlier, the Sixers, Philadelphia, this is such an amazing sports town, and it is such a historic franchise in the NBA that I just want to do all of those things justice, right? I know that I'm an outsider coming in, so I think the most pressure that I'm feeling is just the pressure I'm putting on myself to honor Zoo, to honor this franchise, this city, all of you who have been lifelong fans of this team, while knowing that I can't rush it. You know, I know that I'm new. I don't want to fake anything. I've heard that that doesn't work here, which is great, because I try not to do that ever. I always just try to be myself, because I think that's so important. So yeah, I think the most intense pressure I'm feeling is from myself, and for all the things that, you know, all the articles are about, being a woman, being gay, all that stuff is really important to me. And the most pressure I feel there is, again, just from myself, because I want to do great for everybody who cares about the Sixers, who sees themselves in me, for all those reasons.
My next question was actually going to be a little more positively slanted. It's just, what do you think your greatest strengths are as a broadcaster?
Ooh, that's a good question, Noah. Greatest strengths. Good question. I'm so bad at talking about myself that's a really hard one for me to answer.
I like your voice. So I think you have a good voice. So we can start with that.
Thank you. We'll go off of that. I know, because I haven't had much to do with it other than thanks, mom and dad, born into it. But I did take...
seems like it's your natural speaking voice rather than like a broadcasting type
exactly.
of voice.
Yeah. Although it was funny, because when you get into this industry, I think especially as a woman, and I can do a broadcaster voice because I started in radio. Right. So my first couple of calls, it's really funny listening back, and it's like, hello, everyone. Welcome to Philadelphia. You're right, like you're the 1980s broadcaster. Right.
You're trying to nail it. Yeah,
the color exactly. And the pageantry. Here we are. Right. But thank you. It's taken me a while to get here. So yes, I am lucky. And I think it's really important also as a woman, right? Because the male voices we hear are just deeper for the most part. And that's just human nature. So I think it really helps that my voice is down here in tone and range. I think one thing we talked about earlier, just energy and passion. Like I just love sports and I'm getting to be myself. And most people seem to like that, that I'm just kind of a fan that's getting to call sports. And then other strengths, although I guess those are a few. You know, I think it helps that I have a lot of internal self-confidence, which is not always there, but I think it's really, I'm really lucky to have that because I'm a public figure and a lot of people out there say really mean things and kind of like the quarterback who throws a couple of interceptions and you just have to flush it, right? And get back out there for the next drive. I have to do that too. There's broadcasters I don't like. So I know that I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea and I just got to keep my head down, know that I'm doing a good job. And if there's something I didn't like or other people who do this that I respect think I could do better, that's the critique I really need to pay attention to and keep going.
Kate, you wear a lot of hats. You've had a lot of experience. I've read articles where you kind of trumpeted, the fact that all of those things are what led you up to here. And sometimes we're not quite sure about paths we might take, but then suddenly you get a job and like all that stuff means something. But this is such a nuanced place, such a intricate, detailed type of place. You take this job behind Mark Zumoff, you take this job where the franchise is trying to deal with all types of exercise past demons of losing and, the Ben Simmons situation and all that. Like, you could have just stayed with what you were doing, Kate. You didn't have to take this job. So much is going on. How do you measure, all of what comes with this job outside of just the Zumoff stuff and all that? There's so much other stuff that goes with it.
I mean, I've always loved a challenge, Danny. Okay. That's what life is about, right? That's when we grow, when we step into situations that aren't easy. One of my favorite movies is League of Their Own, back with, Tom Hanks and Gina Davis.
Sure.
And yep. Towards the end, where Tom Hanks says, the hard is what makes it good. If it was easy, everybody would do it. That's kind of the way I've lived my life. I mean, people have asked kind of what you were saying, like Philadelphia, really, Kate, why would you want to go there? Why wouldn't you want to come here to the epicenter of sports fandom with a storied franchise like the Sixers, who have a superstar in Joel Embiid, who have a lot of other great pieces? Like, it's coming together. And I know sometimes it's hard to see, but as somebody who saw it come together, and it didn't happen like this for the Warriors. They were the team I covered for the last 8 years. And there was lots of up and down. They got Steph Curry, but then it took a while to figure out the other pieces. They didn't win the championship that first year. So I'm just so excited to be here because why wouldn't you want to come here? There's so many athletes that I've covered at every level in every sport who've said to me, Kate, I prefer playing on the road because at least those people are screaming at me, whether it's good or bad. Like, our fans are just kind of apathetic. They don't care. I just wish we had the passion. So of course,
you ain't gotta worry about that here.
I know that's not a problem here, but I think Matisse said it during training camp. Yeah. You just want the noise. You want people to care. Sometimes it's hard because they're pissed at you, but don't you want that criticism to push you to do better? And the same thing goes for me as a broadcaster. So I'm so excited to be here. I know it's going to be a challenge for all the reasons you listed, following Zoo and what's going on with the team in this city, but I think it's just going to be great. I've had a great time so far. I know I've only been here for a few weeks, but I'm really looking forward to just diving into the challenge and hopefully enjoying the ride, all of us together.
You've heard from many players with this Ben Simmons situation. You kind of have to approach every day the same way and just deal with it regardless of who was there. What's the approach from your end if we're in a situation where suddenly the regular season begins and the Sixers have this three-time All-Star who is now playing that was not active during preseason?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of going to approach it just the same way the players are, right? I mean, Ben hasn't played yet. He hasn't been a practice yet, to my knowledge. So I'm just going to approach the team that is there right now and active and try to tell those stories. And whatever the team, because again, I'm the Sixers broadcaster now. I'm not working for some national organization that's trying to do anything behind the scenes. Whatever they're saying about the situation at that moment, at that day. I mean, it changed while we were on the air the other night, right? We started the broadcast by saying there's been progress made according to national reports. And then a national report broke, I think it was in the third quarter, that Ben had arrived in Philadelphia. So we went with that. So again, just trying to follow things like all of you are. But as Doc and the players have said, and they really seem to be doing this. I was at practice yesterday and it's so important. This is who's here. We're not going to change the system. There may be just different guys in different spots because Ben is either here or he's not. But we got to focus on winning tomorrow night's game. And I know it sounds like sports talk and cliche, but that's really how you're successful in sport. You have to compartmentalize, whether it's because somebody's here or not, or whatever the case may be. I know there's other teams, right? The team we saw the other night is having to deal with this up in Brooklyn. So just going to do the old cliche of take it one day at a time, and however the situation or whatever Ben is doing at that time, go with that and just do the best I can with it as a broadcaster.
You said you like to talk to the players about some of the off-court interests. For you, would be, you know, what are some of your hobbies? What do you like to do when you're not consumed with a million sports?
Sleep. I like to sleep right now because there is so much. My friends like to joke that sometimes I'm in sports jail, so I can't see them at all. They're like, Kate's in sports jail right now. She'll be out in a second. But I love being outside, walking around. So that's been fun the last few days, just when I've had a little bit of time getting to know Philly. You know, grab a coffee and just kind of get lost, think I'm turning down the right street. And then, okay, I guess I went the wrong direction. Just getting around, looking out, finally wrapping up Ted Lasso season 2, because that is just what we all need, right? I was late to it. I was like, no, this looks so silly. I don't know. And it's so heartwarming. So almost done with that. But I'm so far behind on all the series, like Sopranos, The Wire. Like I still haven't watched them in, what is it, like 15 wow. years? I know, because I've been in sports jail. I've had to just watch and study and do all those things to get where I am now. But I'm hoping that I finally get to do that. And when my wife and dog get out here, you know, taking the dog out and walking around, but really being outside and just interacting with folks as much as I can.
Now, that was kind of one of my questions. I was going to wait, but you said when your wife and dog get out here. So Nicole is moving to Philly, or is this a temporary type?
No, we're coming.
Okay, all right.
I mean, we're probably going to wait a couple months just to make sure y'all don't hate me. And like it's going to be more than just like a 1 or 2 night stand or like a summer fling, right? We're hoping this will be a long-term marriage. I just talked to her a few minutes ago before we got on this morning, and we're trying to figure out, you know, sell the house now in the Bay Area, wait till the spring, what's the market looking like? I mean, she's doing all of that. If we're being honest, I'm not doing any of that. But really looking forward. And then at some point, whenever we figure that stuff out and find a spot here, she and Piper will get in the car and drive across the country. And then the whole fam will be here. But until then, they're rooting for us and for me from afar.
And what kind of dog? Someone out there really wants to know what kind of dog you have. So I have to ask, Piper is what kind of dog?
Piper is a pit bull. She's a rescue pitty.
Three
old ladies
great
doing
dogs.
Life together. It was our first dog, and we'd always just pit bulls. We know they all get a bad rap, but we had
a great family dog. It is a great family dog.
We had a couple of friends, and they were the most loving, wonderful dogs. And I was not a dog person growing up, and I was kind of afraid of pit bulls for all the reasons, right? You see the things on the news.
Absolutely.
Then a couple of friends got him, and they were the most loving dogs. So we adopted her a couple years ago when she was 5. She was given up for whatever reason. And she has just been the love of our life, because my wife has a full-time job too. And we both work our tails off, and we were like, we need something that's going to get us outside. And just, you know, you can stare at your computer for 14 hours a day, or maybe just go outside and walk the dog a little bit and play fetch and like see the world through kind of a kid's eyes, right? Just drop things that you think matter so much at that point and get outside. So yeah, she's been great. She's a snuggle bug on the couch at night. I've been jealous of my wife every night, FaceTime me, and I get a little dog FaceTime. I'm okay. Show me the pup. Okay, you two have a good night. Keep snuggling. I'll see you later. So yeah, she's great. And Sixers scarf. Had to get her some Sixers gear before I left.
Right,
so
right. We saw that. Right.
She told me she's not sure about the cold. She is a delicate flower disguised as a 60-pound pit bull. But I think she'll adjust just fine.
Kate, you've been all around the U.S. Covering sports. Just shed a little light on people who are curious or may not know about how different it is outside of this Northeast corridor of how passionate people are. Because I worked in California and Sacramento specifically for 3.5 years. We had the NCAA tournament come to the Arco Arena, and that to me was just like, oh man, we're going to have like the whole regional here, the Sweet 16, like blah, 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 blah. But it was a little quiet, you know, in the surrounding, you know, areas, because people in California, they like to be outdoors and, you know, in the house watching sports isn't always as front of mind as it is for people here in the Northeast, where that's like appointment TV. So, and probably different in the Midwest as well. So can you shed a little light on what you've experienced on the Northeast and in Cali and in between?
Yeah, I think I covered the Pac-12 for a number of years, obviously, and went to Cal in the Bay Area for college. And people, it's so funny, people always try to say like, it means more in the SEC. No, it doesn't. It means a lot out here. Or yeah, Philly fans are passionate. Well, we're passionate too. And I'm like, you guys, can you just come on a road trip with me and you'll understand. It's not as much a diss to California or, you know, Oregon or Arizona. It's more just shining a light on it. It does mean a little more. And I think, Danny, you know, because you were in SAC, there's not to say that, again, there's not great things to do out here, but the weather is usually beautiful for a little bit more time in California. And it's like, okay, what do I want to do in the Bay Area this weekend? Do I want to go to San Francisco and have a great Saturday? Do I want to go wine tasting in Napa or Sonoma?
Do I want to go to Tahoe? Yeah.
So it's like, or do I want to go see the 0-5 Cal football team? Well, right? Like, what do I want to do? Okay, maybe this weekend we'll go to Tahoe. Like you said, like I'll see a football game later in the season. So it's just different and that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I've been in Stillwater, Oklahoma and Starkville, Mississippi, and we're going to Knoxville, Tennessee this weekend for football. And there isn't wineries and the ocean and beautiful options, right? Like football is life. It's the religion there. And I love that because the whole town shuts down for the weekend. And it's just this big communal family gathering every weekend. And obviously the same in a slightly different way here in the Northeast. And I don't know if that's because the weather gets bad for a couple months a year or just because so much of sports were born here in the Northeast, right? Like you look at all the different sports and so many of the longtime rivalries are born here. For a lot of people, this was the escape for a long time, and that's been carried over through generations of family. So it's different, and I love that it's different because I know what I'm going to get in each spot. And I think sports fans, if you haven't yet, it would be really fun to travel around and just see the different areas because I love getting to see it.
One non-sports thing to do in Philly is to eat. Danny's knowledgeable about the food scene here, so I'm that I'm sure he'll share over time, but any initial positive Philly food experiences for you?
Everything's been great, which is good. And unfortunately, I have to remember that I'm now working in television again and not radio because I got to get rid of this little double.
Don't even try it. Kate is spelled and in shape.
I'm not looking for in shape. Stop it. but I eat everything. And that was one of the things the guys asked me when I was auditioning. They were like, so, and I could tell they didn't know how to ask, like, oh, we've got stereotypes. She's a Berkeley girl, San Francisco. Like, is she vegan? Something. I was like, boys, don't worry. I eat all the things at all the hours, at all the times. I drink all the things. Not that there's anything wrong with being vegan or vegetarian. Right. I have many friends back in the Bay who are, and I give them a hard time there too. I had a cheesesteak. I know I'm not supposed to call it a Philly cheesesteak. JR's favorite spot is Jim's. We went to Jim's on South Street, but I've heard
nothing wrong with that.
It was a good start, right? I've heard to avoid tourist traps. I know D'Alessandro's. I know, let's see, the roast pork at Tone, right? Got to go there. I've heard Mama's. So I have a ton on the list. And I'm going to try to get to all of them because I'm not really the type of person that has a favorite spot. I've always been Switzerland, which is why, you know, sports radio probably wasn't the spot for me.
I am not Switzerland. Let me see that list because I'm crossing some things off.
Okay, good. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I need. I need people with opinions to tell me, no, don't go to that spot. No, that is overrated.
Don't even waste your time. And tell me where Allah's favorite hoagie spot is. Let me condemn that too.
No. You like how I did that, right? I was like, favorite hoagie spot. I'm leaving that for Allah to reveal.
I do know if you're from NorCal, you like tri-tip then. Yes, there we go. You have grown up on tri-tip sandwiches.
Yes.
Or something. Right, exactly. That is very big.
Do we have tri-tip out here?
That's not as big here. And right. I don't know why. I didn't even discover that until I went to the West Coast. So, yeah. Tri-tip is definitely a choice, piece of meat for sure. But Kate, we won't keep you any longer. We appreciate you joining us. We got the food questions then. We got experience you as a person. We talk basketball, so we appreciate your time. Good luck. We enjoy watching you. Detroit coming up Friday, and we'll look for your call then.
Okay, guys, thanks so much for having me. It is great to be here in Philly and great to catch up with you all. Thanks for having me on today.
Ready to make a move? A Wilmington University education can take you where you want to go. WilmU works online or in person. Learn more at wilmu.edu.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
How about it, Noah? Just a great interview. Fit us in between all these sports that she's doing and so much that she has going on and the adjustments she's making to coming to Philly. She's been to gyms, though. That's a good start. I feel like that was a great question.
Yeah, I was curious what her take would be on that. But yeah, clearly very humble. And an authentic person who brings a lot of energy to the table. So great to get to know her a little bit better. And she understands she's filling, you know, big shoes, but wants to be herself, which from where I'm sitting seems like the perfect mindset to have. So yeah, thanks so much to Kate for joining us.
She kills it on college football games. I just got to tell everybody. I think she does the college football games really well, really on top of the action. But I think her voice, I just like her voice. She mentioned how it was kind of in the lower register, but I think her voice just is really good. Noah, you are always working hard on the website, as well as at the arena and at the practice facility. What are you working on right now to kind of pay all of that work off?
Yeah, I mean, as we all know, kind of the day-to-day happenings with the Sixers, you don't need to add much to that in terms of the coverage. So yeah, I'm there covering whatever's going on with Ben Simmons and this team, occasionally taking a step back and trying to provide some big picture column sort of perspective. And then they've got the preseason finale tomorrow night. Doc Rivers has not ruled out yet that Ben Simmons will actually play in that game. So we shall see, but I'll have storylines to watch Friday morning for that game. observations on that game itself. And then we will kind of be in lead-up mode to that regular season opener on October 20th.
And let's just put the final word out there. Ben has passed all the protocols, COVID testing and everything. He's eligible to play, but is he still just doing the individual drills, or where does that part stand?
So as long as everything goes well, what you said is the case, but the earliest, at least as far as Doc Rivers understands it, that he could be cleared to play in a game is Friday night. So he would still need to keep like going through these
programs. Progressing toward, right. Yeah. We're recording this podcast on Thursday, so.
Thursday morning. Right. So the team is actually practicing probably right now. We'll hear from them at 12:15 today. So assuming we'll get another update on Simmons, but yeah, he's there in Camden. He's doing individual work, and not everything is super clear, but the fact that he is there and seemingly progressing toward clearance is obviously a pretty big deal.
Man, the soap opera continues, because suddenly he could be on the court on Friday, but whatever happens, we will be here with you every step of the way. October 20th, we'll be here before you know it. Next week is creeping up on us as the Sixers open the season against New Orleans. We always appreciate your eyes and ears here on the Sixers Talk podcast. With you every step of the way is Noah Levick, myself, Danny Pommels, and Ben Berry, our producer extraordinaire. Thanks for listening. This has been Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmUWorks. We'll see you next time.